This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Okay, well, we found him. Ladies and gentlemen.
Off the tractor.
College Football Matrix. Dave Bartu. Yeah. What's up,
Dave? Hello.
No, not a whole lot. Actually, it's more like in the truck right now on I-5. I'm not too far from the studio. I forgot it was 2:30 on Tuesday already.
Mm. Well, it's 3:30, but
yeah. Where are you heading in the truck?
3:30.
More importantly, what's let's play the fun game of where is Dave Bartu going right now?
I'm going downtown, baby. Going downtown. So
that's pretty vague.
Yeah, that's vague, which means he's up to no good.
Pretty boring. Oh, definitely up to no good. That's for damn sure.
Okay, so I'm looking through the list here. I've got a list of the 2018 college football coaching changes.
Oh.
This carousel was as wild as ever, all these changes. Who do you think did the best?
Did the best? Looking at everybody that's out there, I think number one, universally, UCLA did the best. Bottom line. I don't really think there's a comparison there because you got three elite head coaches out there. And Chip, when you look at his numbers, every which way possible, I mean, this is an elite football coach. And for somebody like UCLA, who has basically been a turd this century, to land somebody like that is really ridiculous. Now, consider our numbers, we grade pretty hard. We don't hand out A's very easily. But that one, by far and away, whoever ended up with Chip Kelly won the silly season, bottom line, because there's not another coach out there that was available that is even close to his level right now.
And so if you take, I know it's not the same thing when he was at Oregon and, the game's changed a little bit, but if you just take his coach effect and then you add him to the talent that's already there at UCLA, what are we talking about here in the first couple of years with him under the Bruin regime?
Pain. Lots of pain for people in the conference. Realistically, you look at what he did at Oregon, and one of the factors we also look at is we look at what coaches do relative to the spread, how well they – not whether they win or cover or any of that stuff, but what is the actual score compared to the Vegas projections? Because we'll all admit, Vegas has really smart people everywhere, okay? And when they're predicting a line, that is their average football game. So we think it's really valuable to look at a coach in terms of how well he performed above or below the Vegas average point separation. You know who's number one in the last decade in point separation on Vegas lines?
My guess is Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly.
Wow.
Okay. And UCLA, look, UCLA is a mid-teens recruiter. Their average class usually runs 13, 14, and if they can pick that up just a little bit, they're already the number two recruiter in the conference, by far and away, number two recruiter. If they can pick that up and start consistently being in the top 10, look, Oregon's best four-year run got them nationally averaging number 14. That was their best four-year run. UCLA, you start getting yourselves in the 9-10 range, you have the potential for these teams to be better than Oregon, better than anything else Oregon ever put out. So I think the potential not only is huge, but you look at the Pac-12 South right now, it is a who's who of crappy defensive coordinators. There is, it may not be the very first year, but I really believe that Kelly's offense is going to be just fine. I don't think the game has changed that much. And when you look at all of the coaches that left college and went to the NFL and were kind of successful, but they were successful college coaches and came back, Harbaugh, Spurrier, Saban, it doesn't hurt these guys. They come back and they're still really, really tough.
College Football Matrix's Dave Bartu here. So who do you think was a better hire, Jonathan Smith or Mario Cristobal?
Do I really have to answer that one?
Yes, you do.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I would like an answer. Yeah, that's kind of why I asked.
No, my answer is no.
You don't like either of them?
No, not really. I mean, Smith, I mean, you don't even know if the guy was calling the plays at Washington. I mean, do you?
Well, yeah, he was calling the plays. He was the co-coordinator, but the last 2 years...
Really? You for certain, it was him calling the plays.
Well, at least that's what
I mean, Look, with the Oregon State hire, and I think you have to look at the hire as a whole, is offensive coordinator, defense coordinator, everything that goes with it, you know? And I think with Oregon State, I think there was a lot higher ceilings they could have gone with. Now, Jonathan Smith at Washington. Washington's offense has had elite efficiency for the last couple of years. So that's the first checkbox I got to look at is, if you're not going experienced head coach, how were they as an offense or defensive coordinator? And the numbers have been pretty elite for Washington. So that's a good hire there. I just think there was guys could have been, you know, on their board that we knew had a higher potential level. So, you know, this is one of those you got to kind of hold your breath and see how it grades out. Now, have they hired a defensive coordinator yet?
No, I don't think I've seen that.
I don't think so. So right now it's really kind of an incomplete when you look at something like that. Now, with Oregon, on the flip side of it, you got Cristobal, who took over FIU, who had a couple of good years, but, you know, ended up being removed from that position as well, and nobody's hired him as a head coach for, what, the last five seasons. So you look at what he did at FIU, it wasn't great. He had a couple of good years. It was really a lot like Schiano at Rutgers. Really, really good recruiter, a couple of good coaching years, but from a coaching standpoint, it wasn't that shiny. And still with Oregon, you have something that's really incomplete in terms of the overall hire, because when Mullins hired Cristobal, the next question is, do you get to keep Leavitt? You know, we talked about Leavitt on the show last year. That was the biggest hire they had of the offseason, was getting an elite top 10 defensive coordinator. Now, if they don't get to keep him, if the whole deal was simply Mario or Jim and you lose Jim on top of hiring Arroyo, which, in my opinion, you look at Arroyo's numbers as an offensive coordinator. He was an offensive coordinator for 3 years. San Jose State for 1 year, Wyoming for two. His offensive coordinator time there was absolutely atrocious. Bottom 10 numbers, worked a terribly slow offense. So you're asking a guy to change his whole disposition on offense when he was a play caller, it was really atrocious. So I hope he learned something at Oklahoma State, but right now, if Leavitt leaves and it's all promote from within, that the Oregon process just doesn't look very appealing right now, other than trying to hang on to a top 15 class.
Well, it's interesting. You look at both Oregon and Oregon State, and there was motives behind each one of those hires. For Oregon State, I truly believe they went after some sitting coaches. They were told no, and then the Jonathan Smith thing was a thing for the boosters. If Jonathan Smith didn't play at Oregon State, he's not even considered for that job. And then Cristobal, same thing. If he's not there for the 1 year, if he was still Alabama's offensive line coach, or even if he had the title of co-coordinator at Alabama, they never would have looked at him. Both of those seemed like just the kind of the right guy, right place, weird circumstances for the hires.
It's kind of like one of those. So, what movie was it? I was thinking it was one of those Harry Potter movies where it was, the dude said, sometimes you have to make a choice between what is right and what is easy. And that kind of feels this way. I think both of these choices were pretty easy for the athletic director, even though there may have been a better potential guy out there.
Scott Frost, you tickled by that? If you're a Nebraska fan, I would be.
How are you not? I mean, you look at his numbers. He was the number one guy coming out of D5. You look at his recruiting numbers. You look at his offensive and defensive performance numbers. Everything pointed to this being the number one guy out of that group of five. And you got an alumni. Now you have a fired up fan base that's, I mean, literally crying that the guy got hired. You know, so I think that's part of it, too, is when you're making these hires as an athletic director, the guys I've talked to, there's a lot of things you have to assess. One of them is, how motivated is it going to make the fan base? You know, remember when Mike Leach was hired at Washington State? I mean, the money started pouring in because people were so excited about it. You know, even if it wasn't maybe the best hire at the time and people questioned it, it got the base excited. It got the money flowing. So that's also happening in Nebraska. Plus, I mean, it was kind of a no-brainer, but I don't even think Moose had an option. You know, judging by that contract, what, 7 years, $35 million? I think Frost got as much as he could because there was no way Moose was going to take somebody else besides Frost for that position.
See, and that part is what fascinates me about a lot of hires is I've never understood why you don't just go get the best guy. I mean, I guess I do understand that you're trying to energize the fan base, and but whether it's a short-term fix, why not just go hire the guy that you think is the very best guy as opposed to finding the guy that's a Michigan man or a Nebraska guy or he understands the, you know, the school? I don't know. I to this day, I will never understand that rationale when it comes to making the most important hire in for your program.
Yeah, best available. And that's my, you know, as a fan, that's what I look at too. But there's four groups of fans when it comes down to hiring. Okay, is you have your best available. They don't care. They don't care about alumni or anything like that. Who is the absolute best available guy I can get? If I can get Chip Kelly, I don't care, you know, what his background is or anything like that. I'm getting Chip Kelly. Okay, then your second group. This is your group that wants continuity. Okay, this is the group that loves to hire from within, the next man up. That's that fan group, you know, the fan that is always excited. Oh, Arroyo, next man up, man. That is absolutely the best guy for the job. Okay, you have that fan group. Then your third one is this is the short termer. This is the one that really likes the recruiting class. They want a hire that keeps everything very steady and people are tied into the program. One of these guys, probably the name you heard around a lot, was Wilcox out of Cal. Okay, this is a guy. This is an alumni. This is what a lot of fan groups. You know, you look at Tennessee. They wanted T. Martin. That's another segment of the fan group. So you're never going to be able to get everybody happy in the whole process. Ultimately, I think it comes down to what the athletic director is most comfortable with at the time. And, you know, certainly with the hire at Oregon, they went with the continuity. And with Oregon State, this was more of a, you know, find that guy that loves the program that might stick around for a long time. I don't think either one went with best available.
All right. Well, have fun downtown. We know you're headed probably to Spice or perhaps one of the other new clubs that I've yet to.
Yeah, you have not given them your patronage yet.
Yeah, not yet.
Yeah.
I'll get around to it.
Look, it's early. It's the holiday season.
Yeah.
It's actually ironic. I'm right next to the McAdam Ross Island Bridge exit. I could be at the studio in like 2 minutes.
You could also be at Devil's Point, right?
Or what, yes.
Yeah, right there, Dave.
Devil's Point.
Yeah.
Yeah, right there at the point.
Just saying.
Where the devil is.
Not coming here.
Yeah, well, we don't have any use for you anymore. We already done the segment. So, I mean, you can come down if you want.
Yeah, hang out.
Hang out. I don't care.
Appreciate being on, guys.
Love you.
Love you, Dave.
Look at Dave. Just driving around in his truck.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.